Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hopefully, you'll stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air with us here this evening. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me. You can listen to past programs there. If you're in an area where you only hear our 11 o'clock hour, you can also listen to our 10 o'clock hour there. We have previous programs recorded that are available at livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to hour one, which is our 10 o'clock hour, hour two, which is our second hour, our 11 o'clock hour on Sunday nights. And you can also listen to our half hour on Friday. We're on every Friday from 1:30 until 2 p.m., and that's all available at livewithpastoral.com. You can also find some of our other materials that we have there, certainly some articles. The latest article that I have posted up there is Psalm 83, Future or Fulfilled, and of course the one before that was, And So All Israel Shall Be Saved. And just looking back, I think before that was Why Talk About the Blessed Hope? And so we touched on a number of things. I'm Offended was another one, talking about hate speech, being accused of hate speech when you preach the gospel. And so just a number of those that are available there, just to if you want to check that out at livewithpastoral.com. You can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. Don't merely just play a pastor on the radio. I am pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Somebody said, well, are you like an assistant pastor? So I said, no, I'm the only pastor. We're a small church. We're barely big enough for one of us. So that's just, it's me. And so we try to do what we can and certainly invite you to visit us if you're in the area. You know, it's hard to believe that Christmas is just around the corner, Thanksgiving coming up this week, and I really hope and pray you have a very blessed and wonderful Thanksgiving, much to give thanks for. And then, of course, Christmas is coming up, and just want to let you know if you should be in the area on Christmas Eve. And I know when we were talking in Florida, we had a lot of people that flee Ohio at wintertime, and they head down as snowbirds down to Florida. I understand that, but yeah, there are also a few people who do come up to northeastern Ohio at Christmas time as well. I mean, believe it or not, I run into a few. But we have on Christmas Eve this year, which is on a Sunday, our church always has a Christmas Eve candlelight service. And so we will be having that in lieu of our regular Sunday evening service on December the 24th. So if you should happen to be in northeastern Ohio, in the Akron-Cleveland area, we are located midway between Akron and Cleveland. Just go live at pastoral.com, and you can click on the link for the Bible Baptist Church, and you'll find out all that information, where we're at and services and all that sort of stuff. But like I said, let me invite you, if you're in the area on Christmas Eve, to our Christmas Eve candlelight service. It'd be 6 p.m. on December 24th. But in the meanwhile, again, let me again wish you a very happy Thanksgiving and a lot to be thankful for. I know it seems like the world's going crazy around us, but there's still a lot to be thankful for, especially if you know Christ as your Savior. So let me encourage you to do that. Well, As I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I believe we have Elaine calling in tonight. Elaine, welcome to the program.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. I'm glad you called us tonight. How are you tonight?
I'm doing real good, thank you.
Well, and happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
Well, thank you very much. I called because were you just on before this, and the question was, are we in Revelation?
I was on in the, from 10 o'clock until 11 o'clock here, on our home station in, we broadcast out of Independence, AM 1220, The Word. And, I was talking with the last caller. We were talking a little bit about Luke chapter 16, and Lazarus and the rich man, Abraham's bosom, and then talking about, in Revelation 19, how that death and hell are going to be cast into the lake of fire, and how the lake of fire is eternal.
Well, there was a question that came up, though, about the United States. Are we in the...
That was earlier on. Our first caller had asked the question about the United States being in Scripture, if it is. Yeah.
Yes. Well, we're there. Actually, when Trump came in, he came in at 70. Daniel 2, verse 21 says, I know what goes on in the darkness, and I see as the kings on the thrones, and I remove them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank God for that, because we sure have messed up the world. But if it comes down to it, when Trump was picked by God, and as every president is, he does the final say-so. He moves towards Christ's return. And so we get good ones and we get bad ones in there. But all of them are there purposely for what God wants us, what God's final chapter of the book is in Revelation. And I know you know that too. So it's amazing because Revelation 12, 13, 14, when Trump came in, he turned 70. Israel turned 70. I thought God's up to something because we had prayed so much after Obama, screwed it so much up. But the thing of it is that that was a real blessing when he came in. He wasn't saved, then he became saved. And I know he's a baby on the reverse rung, and I would really like to tell him about, hey, give God the praise. Don't take it yourself, because pride goeth before a fall.
Mm-hmm.
But the amazing thing of this is, when in Revelation 12, 13, 14, when he came in, he had the blood moons come over him. Something big was going to happen in Israel. Well, it did. He moved us from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And being a great negotiator and a builder, he asked him, he said, okay, tell me something. How much will it cost to buy land to move our embassy there?
Right.
And he said, sure. We it's going to cost a lot, $6 million. $6 million? He said, don't we have a building or something there? Yes, sir, we do. Well, how much would it cost, and where is it? Well, sir, it's right on top of the wall in the Ben Gurion Airport. You're kidding me. How much would that cost? $3 million. He said, take an extra million, put a great big eagle on that building, so we'll know, the world will know, that this is the American Embassy, and Jerusalem belongs to the Jewish people. It is their land. It's Israel's land. Yes, sir, we'll do that. So they did. Revelation 12, 13, 14. Now, here's where the blessing comes in. We are now at the halfway mark. Satan is about to be kicked out of heaven. And it says, when the dragon is kicked out of heaven, he'll come after the woman, that's Israel, God's bride, who gave birth to the male child. Of course, that's Jesus. And the woman will flee to the great two-winged eagle that will fly her, feed, nourish her, and fly her into the desert for the last 3.5 years, where it will protect her, feed and nourish her, and fly her into the desert. That's to Petra. We are there. We are in Revelation. Well, in the best.
Yeah, and I appreciate what you're saying for time's sake and everything. I do have to intervene here a little bit, too. And I do have to point out, we are not in the tribulation period as yet. So what you're talking about and looking at and relating it to things that are happening and have happened already is a comparison to what's there. But we're not in the tribulation period. For one thing, the Antichrist has not signed a 7-year or confirmed a 7-year covenant with Israel, which starts the tribulation period. And when Satan is cast out of heaven, that's the midpoint of the tribulation period, 3.5 years into the tribulation, and it'll also be at the same time probably that the Antichrist goes into the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem and declares himself to be God, and the false prophet institutes the mark of the beast that no man can buy or sell unless they have that mark. So in reality, though, then Revelation 12, verse 13 and 14 is something that is going to happen at least 3.5 years in the future from now, because before that can happen, the rapture of the church, the catching away of the believers, has to take place first, and then the revelation of the Antichrist and his confirming the 7-year treaty with Israel has to take place. And the temple will have to be rebuilt. And none of those things have happened as yet.
No, and I didn't say it'll happen during his reign.
I said
it will be. We will use that. It looks to me like America will still be in it at 3.5 years. We will be part of Revelation. We are there.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying then. And if this is America that comes to the rescue, that is a possibility. And it could be, because as I said previously at one time, that if the rapture took place and, say, the America proper, you know, the mainland, was attacked with a significant electromagnetic pulse attack, and the American, mainland, basically, where, you know, they estimate that in a year's time, 90% of our population would die. The military that's overseas, you know, these naval groups, these aircraft carrier groups, and our bases that are overseas, we have a significant presence overseas. And if we came to the assistance of Israel, because I've heard people talk in the past about how, you know, this is the point in the midpoint of tribulation when Jesus said, if you're there and you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, don't even go back into the house. If you're in the field, immediately flee. If you're on the housetop, go down and flee. Don't go into the house to get anything. Just flee immediately. And I believe that corresponds to where he sends the eagle. And it could be that, for instance, that you have the remnant of the United States military working and assisting with Israel and some other places to fly these people into Petra. That would be a potential.
Well, I just thought that fit so perfectly. And I've heard a lot of preachers now changing, you know, their thoughts and saying, hey, we're there, but we never understood what that verse meant until he moved our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, which the blood moons did come over Trump.
Oh, and I remember when those took place, a lot of people were talking about them, and it was very significant that we moved our embassy from Tel Aviv to Israel. People said at the time, oh, that's going to cause World War III. You can't do that. It didn't happen. And a lot of other countries began the process of moving their embassies to Jerusalem at the same time. In fact, the Jewish people were so thankful for that. Remember, they actually named a street after Donald Trump.
Yes, they did.
And some other things. He was well-loved.
Signed the accord.
Yeah, and so the Trump administration was a pivotal administration for Israel and the Jewish people. In terms of, like we said, the moving of the embassy, which brings, you know, one of the greatest powers in the world today to basically say, yes, Jerusalem is the capital of the Jewish state. And that's an authentication there. And of course, you know, the Abrahamic Accords, which has just been phenomenal, some of the things that took place there. So
I really think that I don't know what else that could pertain to, because it's perfect, because it is the Ben-Gurion, and that was very significant.
Yeah.
The airport was in the wall, and the fact that he moved it there, remodeled that on top, and then in Revelation 12, 13, 14 says that when the dragon is kicked out of heaven, and when he does, that's what starts the great tribulation.
The second half, the great tribulation. Yeah, and I was going to point something else out too. You're talking about, you mentioned that Donald Trump being a builder. Remember, there was even some commemorative coins that were made with Donald Trump on one side and Cyrus, the Persian ruler, on the other side, who allowed them to go back in to rebuild the wall, rebuild Jerusalem. And they put Trump on one side, Cyrus on the other, as the great builders. And so very significant in terms of president. And that's why God brought Trump into the White House, because when he came down that escalator, I'll guarantee most people thought, oh, yeah, right, like that's going to happen. And
I really think he was a wonder. The only thing is, he took all the credit, and you don't take God shares his throne with no one. And when he kept saying to everybody, I did this and I did that, I thought, whoa, watch it, buddy, you're headed towards Obama. Because he did the same thing. Obama said, I did all.
In fact, Obama was famous for the number of times that he could fit I and me and myself into a statement.
Yeah, and if I go before a fall, and I think that's what really God said, okay, you know, we had enough of you. You're going to get your comeuppance, because you won't get in the next time, which floored him.
Yeah.
But also Daniel 2, verse 21, I seated the king. That's why Hillary didn't get it, Al Gore. Mm-hmm. Nor Trump, when the world expected them. Remember how they announced when Bush, they said Al Gore had gotten it, and they said he's the new president. Go, oh, wait a minute. This is, oh, my gosh.
Bush, well, it was Florida that helped put George W. over the top. But I was going to say, and of course it was God that allowed that to happen. I had actually written an article back in February of 2021 asking why God allowed Joe Biden to take the office there. And I touched on, I think, maybe some similar things to what you're saying, but also the fact that God has a plan. He has a purpose. And the United States, you know, is instrumental in recent history, the last couple of hundred years, or a few hundred years, I should say. The United States provided a safe haven for the Jewish people in the world. And the United States, in addition to that, was instrumental in the Jewish state becoming a state. Because remember, President Truman was the first world leader to recognize Israel as a state. And incidentally, he was told by all of his advisors not to do it, and he did it anyways. And that's because he grew up going to church, and he was told that there was supposed to be a Jewish nation there in the latter days. And then in recent years, of course, the United States has been, sometimes a fair-weather ally, but the staunchest ally overall of Israel in the world, really. And we have helped them, protected them, and worked with them to develop everything, you know, a number of military systems that they're dependent on, over there in Israel right now to defend them against these rocket attacks and things. Excuse me. And so the United States has been very instrumental from our very beginning in protecting and nurturing the Jewish people and enabling there to be a Jewish state over there. And certainly Donald Trump was kind of like the culmination of that, with his recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and moving our embassy there and the different things that he did during that time. But in order to get the other thing that the United States has done has hindered the development of the world government, you know, globalist plans have been thwarted oftentimes by America. And I believe that's primarily because God is working through the believers in the United States, in America. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about the mystery of iniquity working but being hindered. And I believe that's the Spirit of God that hinders, but he hinders by working through you and I. And when we're gone and that hindrance is gone, you know, the world's going to fold into that globalist order.
It's taken out of the way.
Yeah.
Well, we're almost there. I mean, we're still
very
close. And I really believe with all my heart, it will be. I'm 76. And in 47, I was born. And May 14th, 1948, when Israel became a nation overnight, I mean, they never understood those verses before. And
yes.
Now they understand it very clear because they thought that could never happen. But it did.
Well,
because, you know, West Point used to teach that the United States, they could teach us every war that was ever fought by God. We could do those wars over again, except for Israel, because those are all fought by God. He intervenes in all of those because that Israel's his bride. They forget that. But we must remember it, because we're either a blessing or a curse, and we have been a blessing to them for the most part. Not always.
Yeah.
When we took away those 900 people off that ship, that broke my heart, because I wasn't born then. When I heard that, it really broke my heart.
Oh, yeah. And a good example, the first American president to call for a two-state solution in Israel was George W. Bush. And shortly after he called that, we had that storm that had gone out in the Atlantic. And contrary to all normal meteorological trends and movements, it reversed course, traveled 1,000 miles, and hit dead center on Kennebunkport, Maine, and destroyed George W.'s compound.
And I saw that. We went up the street, my husband and I, and we came upon that. And I said, wow, look at that home. Gorgeous.
Well, and then his son, George H.W. Bush, or George W. Bush, that was George H.W. Bush, I think I said George H.W. Bush. His son, George W. Bush, then was instrumental in pressuring Israel to give up the Gaza Strip. And as the last settler was being forced out of Gaza, they were monitoring a pressure system, low pressure system in the South Atlantic. And they said, well, we don't think this is going to amount to much, but if it does, we'll call it Katrina. So, you know, I mean, I'm trying to think of the name of the book, John McTernan, As America Has Done to Israel. Excellent book. Highly recommend it. It's a very eye-opening book. And it charts some of these things. It's interesting. Whenever Yasser Arafat traveled to the United States, as long as he was here, we were plagued with storms and fires and all kinds of natural disasters. And the moment he'd left, they would end. As soon as he left our airspace, they would end.
Well, that's why you can't. I'll never understand how people cannot believe there is a God.
Well, and see, that's a good point, because that's why prophecy is in the Bible, because as it comes true, it's evidence that there is a God.
Yes, it's so clear, and when it's proven, you know, and I was amazed when it says, "We'll fly them. The great two-winged eagle will fly them." I mean, where were the Wright brothers? You know, I mean, that was a futuristic, we'll fly them into the desert. The great winged eagle will fly them into the desert.
Well, then, and this is where I've heard it taught many times in the past, reflecting what you said, that this indicates an airlift being born. I mean, and what do we call airplanes oftentimes? You know, we got to get this bird off the ground, you know, or we got to get this bird down safely. They'll refer to airplanes as birds. I was joking with my son recently.
It's a two-winged eagle.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was joking with my son recently. Back in, I think it was in the 1930s, there was an organization that they tried to start, didn't get off the ground too much, but it was called Junior Birdmen. And some people probably remember the song, Up in the Air, Junior Birdmen. But this song, or this group, was dedicated to getting young men, like in the Boy Scouts or something like that, but getting them dedicated to learning to fly airplanes. And they called them birdmen.
Yeah.
Because they referred to airplanes as birds. And so as we've seen the development of aircraft This is a very likely fulfillment, or what will be fulfilled in Revelation chapter 12, in verse 14, where it talks about the wings of a great eagle aircraft, and it very well could be, you know, U.S. military that's there during that time, along with the Israeli Defense Forces, flying people to safety as they're about to be attacked there, Petras, in that area. And they're going to Petra is where they're going to go, yeah.
Yeah, that verse was never understood, but there's so much that God's revealing so quickly to us now.
Yeah.
And had been hidden from us. I mean, it was there in plain sight, but we never understood it.
Yeah.
Then things have happened. God's opened doors, and America's gone through them, and all over the world, different places have gone through them. And then it's like, oh, my gosh. Look, it's been in Revelation all the time.
Well, let me share something else with you here, and we're going to be coming up on the break here in just a minute or so, where it talks about in verse 15, the serpent cast out his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Probably about 15 years or so ago, I went to a conference talking about Israel and Bible prophecy. And they were talking about how at the time they were in the process of building, I think it was two tunnels that were going to bring water from, I believe, the Red Sea into the Dead Sea area. And they were going to bring the seawater through, and because the Dead Sea sits very much below sea level, they were going to use gravity to use the falling water to run and generate electricity. And then they were going to use the electricity to desalinate the water, to use the water to irrigate in the Dead Sea region. But what that was going to give was two giant tunnels that could basically flood the region if they were uncontrolled. Isn't that kind of interesting?
Yes. Well, you talk about water, the Euphrates.
Well, yeah, but this is just, I was looking at that with the serpent casting water out, trying to drown them, trying to flood them out as they're fleeing. And that would be the area where Petra is.
Yes.
So
it's protected. It's supernatural.
Yeah.
Protected.
Yeah.
You know, the amazing part of this is we are so close. Remember when it says 200,000 men will march up the Euphrates?
Mm-hmm. And they have the ability to dry the Euphrates by shutting off the dams. And we have the ability to have a 200,000-man group or army coming in, which at the time that John recorded that was kind of like, not much smaller than the world's population, which it seemed like an impossible number, but today it's very much real. So, yes, very interesting, isn't it?
I've hit 200,000. India
can do it. China can do it. And so it's there.
Another one.
Yeah.
Arab.
Well, yeah. Well, Elaine, I do want to thank you for the call tonight. We're quickly hitting the break here in just a minute, but I do want to thank, and I'm glad we got on the same page there, because I was just kind of concerned that you were thinking we were in the tribulation, and so I'm glad we got that straightened out and had a good conversation. I appreciate that.
Right. We're not going through it.
Right, exactly. And it's like I said, I'm thankful that we got that straightened out, got on the same page, realized we were talking about pretty much the same thing. So,
yeah,
and just something to be excited about and to thank the Lord for. So, Lane, I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving this week. I hope you have a really blessed Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And thank you so much for the call. I hope you'll call back in the future. So God bless. And again, you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We're going to take a short break here in just a few moments, and we are going to have another whole half hour to go. So we'll be with you till midnight. Stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on your radio station. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you tonight. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me. You can listen to past programs. You can listen to the both hours of our Sunday night program. You can listen to our Friday half-hour program. You can read some articles and things that I have there. That's all at livewithpastoral.com. You can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And so with that, let me get back into a couple of things. I noticed here that coming across the news here this evening that Rosalynn Carter has passed away at 96 years of age. Of course, she was the wife of President Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter, I think he's 99. He has been in hospice, home hospice right now. And his wife, I think he's been there for about 6 months. But his wife, Rosalynn Carter, had just entered into hospice a day or so ago. And has passed away here. That came across the news here tonight. So then, of course, I'm sure that that is going to be something that you'll hear more about in the news and different things, being former First Lady. All right. Well, with that also, I did want to mention, I heard a story, too, in regards to, and I was just trying to find it here. I had it queued up, and, of course, now it has disappeared. There was a preacher who was preaching on the street in Glendale, Arizona. And he was out preaching, and some people went by. They're not sure whether it was somebody on foot or in a car, shot him. He was shot in the head, and he was taken in, of course, to the hospital. And he was still alive at the time the news was reporting this. And it was said that he was in critical condition. They were asking for prayers. And I would give you your name, or give you his name, to pray for him if I could get it to turn up on my computer again. Like I said, I had it here, and it was all queued up, ready to go. And I found the thing on Rosalind Carter passing, and then there it is, and that one disappeared. Here it was, Hans Schmidt, 26 years old, preaching at the corner of a major intersection in Glendale, Arizona, when he was shot somewhere around 6 p.m., I guess it was Friday evening, and they're asking for prayer for him. 51st Avenue and Peoria in Glendale, if anybody's familiar with that area. And so there, he was affiliated with Victory Chapel there in Glendale, where he was the outreach director. So do pray for Hans Schmidt and his family. He's a military veteran. He's the father of two young children, one of which is a two-month-old baby. And as of the time that I read this, he's fighting for his life in critical condition in the hospital. So do pray for him, Hans Schmidt, and his wife and family there and the church there in Glendale. All right. Well, I just wanted to share that and remind people we need to pray for each other. We live in dangerous times, and, you know, we see what's happening, of course, to the Jewish people and the targeting of the Jewish people. But it's not just Jewish people that are being targeted. Christians are being targeted as well. Hamas and many of the Muslim terrorists have let it be known, first we're coming for the Saturday people, meaning the Jewish people, then we're coming for the Sunday people, meaning the Christians. We don't know who shot at this particular individual, but when we see what's happening in the world and even in this country, we've seen a number of people attacked, and there was the lady in Illinois, I believe it was, Chicago area, who was the head of a Jewish synagogue there, I believe it was. She was stabbed and killed. There was the Jewish gentleman that was beaten on the head with a megaphone at some demonstration. He died as a result of that. There's others that have been roughed up and in fear for their lives just in this country. And certainly, if you saw some of the information that came out on the transgendered shooter in Nashville earlier this summer, that had her manifesto that the media would not release. If she had been somebody who was a right-wing zealot of some sort, they would have gladly released the manifesto. But because she was a woman who was pretending to be a man and she hated Christians and said so in her manifesto, somebody took pictures of it, apparently, out in the parking lot of the police station and released some of the pictures. And very clear, if it wasn't clear before, that she shot up the Christian school because she hated Christians. And so we see these things happening, and they're going to be happening. Jesus said it, not to be surprised when the world hates you because it hates him, and we represent him. And the world hates us. And that brings me to another point that I was going to bring up. I was thinking about here in Ohio, we just became, the North Korea of the United States by putting an amendment into our Ohio Constitution that is going to allow abortion up to and including the day of birth. He will be able to get an abortion. And ultimately, the decision for the abortion will be made by the, as they said, using their euphemistic language, the treating physician and the patient, which means that if the treating physician working for Planned Predators convinces a 12-year-old girl that she needs to have this abortion, You know, that's the only people who have to be involved, specifically this amendment to our Constitution here in Ohio will prevent any state law from affecting what's happening, and it will also effectively eliminate any parental or guardian notification. They will just be able to have this done. No parental notification and no state laws affecting it. They're already gearing up, of course, to reinstitute partial birth abortion here in the state of Ohio. And the guy that started it, of course, he's invested heavily into getting this passed in the Ohio Constitution. But I would submit that this issue is running contrary to what's already in the Ohio Constitution. Excuse me, because in the Ohio Constitution, in Article 1, Section 1, it says under the Bill of Rights, Inalienable Rights, Article 1, Section 1, all men are by nature free and independent and have certain inalienable rights. Inalienable is the equivalent of what we see in the Declaration of Independence, where it says, I believe it says, unalienable. Basically, the two terms are synonymous. It just seems like in the Declaration of Independence, second paragraph, where it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Unalienable was the word they usually use then. Now we say inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so the Ohio Constitution reflects that when it says all men are by nature free and independent and have certain inalienable rights, among which are those of enjoying and defending life and liberty, acquiring, possessing, and protecting property, and seeking and obtaining happiness and safety. But notice that it says right there in the Ohio Constitution, section Article 1, Section 1, that our inalienable rights, meaning rights that belong to us, they're not given to us, and they really cannot be just forfeited. It says that among those rights are enjoying and defending life. Well, let me tell you, the new abortion amendment that we have to our Ohio Constitution runs exactly contrary to that. And you know, a lot of states have similar statements. The state of Florida, in Florida's constitution, they have much the same thing, where they recognize, you know, the right of life in the Florida Constitution, and many of the other states all have this in their constitution, and certainly the United States Constitution has this in it. I read from the Declaration of Independence, you know, where we have, you know, the certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Life is the first thing there. And then it continues that the securities rights, meaning the right to life, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So part of the reason for the government is to protect life, because that's one of our inalienable or unalienable rights. It belongs to us, the right to life. And the various state constitutions reflect the same idea, that we have the right to life, unalienable rights to life. And here's the United States Constitution, which, of course, starts out saying that it is, we the people of the United States, in order to form more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessing of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain, establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And the general welfare has to do with protecting those unalienable rights that were mentioned in the Declaration of Independence, the first of which was life. Well, if that's not good enough for you, look at the amendments to the United States Constitution. The first 10 amendments are what we refer to as, remember, the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights. And in the Bill of Rights, the Fifth Amendment says this: No person shall be held to answer for a capital otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in a time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, neither shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Read the whole Fifth Amendment there, but basically summing up for our purposes here, no person shall be deprived of life without due process of law. That's how important it is. The federal government is restricted to protect life. It's an unalienable or inalienable right, and the government is to protect life. No one can be deprived of life, the Constitution says in the Fifth Amendment, without due process of law. So that restrains the federal government. What about states? Can the state of Ohio, could the state of Virginia, could the state of Florida, could the state of Arizona deprive somebody of life without due process of law? Well, here's the 14th Amendment. 14th Amendment, Section 1. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of the citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Well, here, let me shorten that one down. Nor shall any state deprive any person of life without due process of law. How about that? Well, you know, there is a process called nullification, if you're familiar with that, where states can nullify certain federal laws and things like that that run contrary to the Constitution. Well, what happens when a state runs contrary to the Constitution? Well, state constitutions are not supposed to be contrary to the U.S. Constitution. When a state becomes a state, they have to submit their constitution to be approved by Congress, to make sure that it's not contrary to the Constitution. So what happens when a state like Ohio amends their constitution and it runs, in my opinion, contrary to the United States Constitution, where now the state of Ohio can deprive persons of life without due process? Well, something to think about. I think this is an area where the pro-life side needs to investigate this. And furthermore, at least in Ohio, the new amendment also runs counter to the Section 1, Article 1, Section 1 of the Ohio Constitution that says specifically that that defending life is a responsibility of the Ohio government. All men are by nature free and independent, have certain inalienable rights, among which are those of enjoying and defending life. Well, if an unborn child is a person, then they should have the protection of the United States Constitution. They should have the protection of the various state constitutions that reflect the United States Constitution and the United States Declaration of Independence, protection of our inalienable right to life. And in fact, in the 14th Amendment, when we were looking at that, let me go back to that for just a second. When it says, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, it also says, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. And I would submit that here in Ohio, our absolutely abhorrent, radical, extreme abortion amendment that was passed by a small minority of this state here in the last election is certainly something that runs contrary to the U.S. Constitution, contrary to the Ohio Constitution. And the U.S. Constitution in Amendment 14 says that no person, or that they can deny, nor deny to any person within this jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. If the unborn child is a living human being, then they should not be denied equal protection. That's my position here. And I believe it's a biblical position, too, because in Psalm 139, as we've mentioned many times before, when David is writing here, he says in verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." And what he's referring to there in a poetic sense is within the womb. And so he continues, verse 16, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." David is talking about how at the moment of conception, the book was written. "In the book, in thy book, all my members were written." At the moment of conception, you have a unique human life that takes shape. Now, as a Bible-believing Christian, as a pastor, as I guess if I want to use the term theologian, I can say emphatically the Bible is teaching here that at conception, you are a distinct human being. Because David said, "When thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continual fashion, when as yet there was none of them." You know, in the book, that would be the DNA, the written instructions that make you you and make me me. And this was written at the moment of conception. You received 23 chromosomes from your father, 23 chromosomes from your mother. You became a unique human being, unique from your father and unique from your mother. And I said before, you know, at least for the men that are in the audience, that we can make an effective statement here, because people say, well, men shouldn't weigh in on abortion because it's not their body. It's my body, my choice. If you're a man, you have no say in this. I'm sorry. This is my response. I was once a man trapped in a woman's body. 9 months later, I was born. So, hey, it's an absolute truth, because here's the thing. When I was conceived, I received a Y chromosome from my father. My mother had no Y chromosome because she's female. Female chromosome complement is XX. The male chromosome complement is XY. When I received that Y chromosome from my father and an X chromosome from my mother, I was conceived as a male, as a man inside of a woman's body. My body was not my mother's body, very clearly, very logically. Hey, I can say this. I got a biology degree, so okay, I was a biologist. I know this. In biology, you know this. But you know what's really exciting? The Bible tells us that life begins at conception. Biology tells us that life begins at conception. There's an amazing thing that they've discovered that happens at the moment of conception. In the moment of conception, there's zinc ion receptors on the surface of the egg. And at the moment of conception, the zinc ions are released and a fluorescent light show flashes across the surface of the egg. It's like God's announcing a new life has begun. Let there be light. And when there's light, there's life. And that light show flashes across the egg. Somebody said, "Well, it's fluorescence. It's not light. It's fluorescence." Well, remind me next summer, early summer, when the lightning bugs come out, that I should call them fluorescent bugs. Hey, look at the fluorescent bugs fluorescing out there tonight. Oh, I just love to watch them fluoresce. We call them lightning bugs because they give off light. It doesn't matter if it's fluorescent light or incandescent light or some other form of light. You ever use those little light sticks? They're cool when you break them. Not cool as in neat, cool as in cool to the touch. They don't heat up because they fluoresce and they give off a lot of light, don't they? Well, that's what happens across the surface of the egg. A light show takes place saying there's a new life that's created. That corresponds to biology. That corresponds to the Bible. And the devil hates that because man was created in God's image. God, the devil can't attack God directly. He can't kill God, but he can sure kill that which God loves. And that's why I think we have this spirit of Moloch that's in the world today. Remember, they worship Moloch, and they offered up their babies as sacrifices so that their lives would be better. Well, that's what we have going on today in the Democrat Party. That's what we have going on in these people who are obsessing that we must be able to abort babies up until the day of birth, if not afterwards. And it's the same spirit of Moloch worship. We got to sacrifice these babies for our well-being. And it's an attack on the image of God. And when Noah and his family got off the boat, you know, God told them that if somebody kills somebody, their blood is to be shed because they attacked man who's made in the image of God. The devil hates you. He hates me. He hates humanity because God loves us and he wants to destroy us. And that's the move that made Ohio become the North Korea of the United States with their abortion policy. I put it that way. That's the way it is. But at any rate, I don't want to leave us on a complete downer note here. Just encourage you, read the scriptures, study the scriptures out. Don't be overwhelmed and put faith in Christ if you don't know Christ as your Savior today. And again, Thanksgiving's coming up. We do have a lot to be thankful for, even when we see things like this happening. Be thankful that we have a Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your salvation. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.